Okay, good morning. I think it's time that we begin. We're running just a little bit late. It's good to see all of you this morning. All of the shiurim at the OU Israel Center this week are being dedicated by Mel David to the blessed memory of his dear father, Abraham David Zal. May his neshama have an aliyah, and may our learning together serve as a zechut for him and his family as well. Okay. This past Shabbat, we read from a second Sefer Torah, Parashat HaChodesh, the last of the Arba Parashiyot. So being that we did not have the opportunity to discuss Parashat HaChodesh last week, as then we discussed Parashat HaShavua, Vayakel/Pekudei, we're going to go just a little bit backwards. We're going to put the gears in reverse and go back to this past Shabbat to Parashat HaChodesh. Parashat HaChodesh, which is comprised primarily of the details of the preparation for and the implementing of the Korban Pesach, begins with something that's very peculiar and seemingly has no real place here. And that is a pasuk that really, I guess, achieves its claim to fame, or its 5 minutes of fame, even at the very beginning of the Chumash itself. And we'll see what I mean in just a moment. Parashat HaChodesh begins with Hashem telling Moshe and Aharon, and that will come into play in our shiur a little bit later on today, both to Moshe and Aharon, telling them, as I highlighted for you on the third line of your introduction, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim, this month, without naming which month it is, except if you take it in its context and do not take the pasuk out of context, and B'nai Yisrael are about to leave Mitzrayim, we know that the month, by definition, is what we call today, Chodesh Nisan, and open parentheses, I stress today, or even going back as far as Migilat Esther, and earlier than that, Nisan, but not in the time of the Chumash, as all of the names of the months come from the Akkadian or some other related Semitic languages, close parentheses, we know that it's referring to what we call the month of Nisan. Rishon hu lachem, it is to serve for you as the first month, lechotchei hashana, for the months of the year. Now, just taken as a mitzvah, or even not as a mitzvah, a command, which it does become, as we will see, but even just as a sign, so to speak, and indeed the Midrash tells us that when Hashem said to Moshe and Aharon the word hazeh, this, it's ki'ilu, it's as if God pointed to the moon and said, kazeh, when it looks like this, what we may call a baby banana, re'eh v'chadesh, see it, and then sanctify or renew the moon. In other words, declare that this is what we call today in our parlance, Rosh Chodesh, based on how the moon appears now. Now, that's very interesting for several reasons. Number one, the very idea that Rosh Chodesh is something that is talui bit, or that is up to people to decide, as opposed to it is ordained by God, meaning just by dint of the fact of nature that the moon itself is renewing itself, that should make it Rosh Chodesh. And yet it doesn't. And this is not, by the way, the focus of our shiur this morning, but it really is very fascinating. It is not Rosh Chodesh until it is declared by Beit Din, by witnesses coming and testifying, that it is indeed Rosh Chodesh. And only when they take the testimony of the two witnesses and they declare that they're both being honest and above board and they didn't just want their 5 minutes of fame, then the Beit Din would declare Mikudash HaChodesh Mikudash, according to another version, Mikudash HaChodesh Mikudash, the month has been sanctified, the month has been renewed, it is indeed Rosh Chodesh today, and the month begins. By the way, that is also why we have, I'm going off into a lot of tangents before I actually begin this morning, that is actually why we have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Because if you think about it, all of the Chagim from the Torah are 1 day, 7 days, yes, but 1 day Yom Tov. Coming up now, Chag HaPesach, in just 2.5 weeks, I suppose, and I don't mean to scare anybody in the room, including me, but Pesach is on the way. Thank God, those of us that celebrate Pesach, it's not just, whoa, it's only one Seder instead of two like we used to, for those of us who used to live in Gola. It's more than that. We are actually living and observing Pesach the way it was intended to be. B'nai Yisrael only left Mitzrayim once. They didn't leave 2 days in a row. They only ate one Korban Pesach. And so the first day of Yom Tov was 1 day. Rosh Hashanah is the exception. And universally, here too, in Eretz Yisrael, it's 2 days. Why? Simply because of the fact that since Rosh Hashanah falls out on the first of the month, it was rare that by the time that the first of the month rolled around or was declared, that people outside of a very, very limited closed area would know that Rosh Chodesh, meaning Rosh Hashanah, was even declared. And so they had to, before there was technology of any sort, they had to observe 2 days of Rosh Hashanah because they didn't know when Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, what we call Rosh Hashanah, actually falls. People had no way of knowing, and often witnesses didn't even come. And so it would turn out that the previous day maybe was Rosh Hashanah, but nobody knew about it. So in any event, by dint of the calendar, Rosh Hashanah was and still is observed for 2 days. Okay, I will take any questions or comments that I see in the audience. Yes? I'm going to repeat all questions for those that are not familiar, and that is that for those listening at a later date in the archives, they won't hear you, the audience members. Does the question, it's a very good question, is does the declaration of Rosh Chodesh by Beit Din have anything to do with, I think we asked it in reverse order, our announcing Rosh Chodesh today in the Beit Knesset, like we did this past Shabbat? The Molad will be, the appearance of the new moon for the first time will be, and also what we call Birkat HaChodesh, leading up to that announcement. The answer is yes, it is everything to do that. That is our way of doing the best that we can to reenact what was done in Beit Din, okay? One interesting point, which I did not put on my paper, on your source sheet, and I apologize for that, is that it is witnesses that appear. It's not just that Beit Din declares. The members of Beit Din themselves could have probably looked out their window and gone outside, and if it was not cloudy, they could have seen, and then they could have served it. That's not good enough. It has to be two individual witnesses coming from outside. What is the term for witnesses in Hebrew? Edim. That term, aid, is related to the word, and it shares the same root word as the word edah, meaning a congregation. Because a congregation, an edah, as opposed to a different type of congregation like a tzibur, and as opposed to another type of congregation, a kahal or a kihilah, like a Beit Knesset might be called a kahal or kihilah, an edah is a group, by definition, of like-minded people from the outset. For bad, like with Korach, they're referred to as an edah, and Moshe Rabbeinu complains often about this edah hara'ah, this evil edah that I have no choice but to lead because, God, you made me do that. But these are people that are like-minded from the get-go. They form a cohesive unit of having the same purpose and the same goal in mind. That is an edah. One aid can never testify to, well, not never, but to most areas in halakha. One aid cannot testify. Why can one aid not testify? Because by definition, a witness means somebody who's a witness, but also has this element of we're in this together. There's no concept, of course, no way to have the image of, or have an imagery of, we're in this together if it's only one person. There needs to be this idea of coming together to create an edah. And that will come into play later on in this year, okay? So this morning we're going to explore the mitzvah of HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim. We're going to go further and explore a little bit of the Korban Pesach itself, and we will see how the two are really interconnected. Beyond the fact that you need to know when Rosh Chodesh Nisan was so that you can then fulfill what is about to ensue a few psukim later of Be'asor LaChodesh Hazeh on the 10th of the month. You can't know when the 10th of the month is in future years if you don't know when the first of the month is based on how the moon appears in the sky, based on Hazeh Re'eh V'Kadesh. That's true, but there's so much more to it than that. So I thought that before we even get to those points, though, we go back to the very beginning. I mentioned that this mitzvah actually enjoys its claim to fame, its 5 minutes of fame, at the very opening of the Chumash. No, not in the Chumash itself. I'm not referring to the different midrashim about the sun and the moon showing off and bragging. That has nothing to do with this per se. The moon has its 5 minutes of infamy when it claims that the world is not big enough, the sky's not big enough for the sun and for me. But I'm referring to the very first comment of Rashi. And it's a very famous Rashi, and you may be familiar with it, but to me it really bears repeating. And just by way of introduction, my wife was once giving a shiur many decades ago. I was the Rav of a shul in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and my wife gave a shiur for women in the afternoons. And in her shiur, in sharing this Rashi, she looked at the women in the group. Now, keep in mind, these were not girls. These were women. These were adult women. I believe all of them were at least married. Some of them maybe would have been grandmothers already. And she mentioned, my wife said, just by way of example, if I, Leah Herzog, have a pie, and I share to give every single person in this room a slice of pie, except for you, it's not a nice thing to do. It's a foolish thing to do for many reasons, but I have a right to, because it's my pie. So I'm a jerk, but it's my pie, and I can do whatever I want. Now, I can tell by the fact that you're still smiling, I'm picking on the right person. My wife picked on the single worst person in the room to pick on, because that woman went around the entire community bad-mouthing my wife, the Rebbetzin of the shul, based on the fact that she used her as an example of somebody she would not give a slice of pie to. I kid you not, this woman was in her, I believe, 40s at the time. Obviously, she certainly had several issues that I hope that by now, if she's still alive, may she be well, I hope that by now she's been able to work out, because she clearly had a lot of work to do. That's what the first Rashi is all about. Or putting it another way, when I used to teach fourth grade in the States, and we were to learn this Rashi, I would ask my kids to divide up into groups, and I would give them several lead questions. And one of them is, what type of book is the Chumash? What type of work is it? If it is, I'll just cut to the chase, a book of lists, the list being a list of mitzvot of the Torah, which is to a great extent how it is viewed, then the Torah should begin with the very first mitzvah. And yet it doesn't. And that's where Rashi is coming from. So let's take a look at the Rashi. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, right off the bat, because we're Jews, so we debate everything, the question is asked, who is Rabbi Yitzchak? It might be Rashi's father, Rabbi Shlomo Yitzchaki or Ben Yitzchak. It might be somebody else. But in any event, Lo haya tzarich lehatchil et haTorah ela me'achodesh hazeh lachem. The Torah really did not need to start from, or should not have started from, anywhere earlier than what we call Parashat HaChodesh, our topic of this morning, Perek Yudbet in Sefer Shemot, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. This Chodesh is the first for you. Why? Because it's not just that God is describing for Moshe and Aharon how the moon should appear, but more than that, Shehi Mitzvah Rishona, it is the first mitzvah, Shenitztavu BaYisrael, that we, B'nai Yisrael, were commanded. We were actually commanded and mandated every month to renew that particular month, to kickstart the month. So if the Chumash is a Sefer Mitzvot, it is a book of lists, like a phone book. Isn't it funny how today, if we just say the word phone book, by definition, we're dating ourselves, because anybody younger than us has no idea what a phone book is. But pretty funny. But in any event, if that's the case, umata'am patach b'vreshit. What's Bereshit all about? Why do we need the creation story? Why do we need all of the avot and imahot stories? Why do we even need individual mitzvot that are given to the entire world? One could debate that point, like Peru or Avu, be fruitful and multiply. In other words, procreate so that there's a purpose for the continuation of the world. But that applies to everybody. But beyond that, what do we need any of Sefer Bereshit for? All of it, in its entirety, is stories. Sefer Shemot, the beginning up until HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, is all story. It might be our story, but if you have a phone book, you're not going to go have, no phone book begins with a whole history lesson first, I don't think. So what's the purpose of starting the Torah earlier? And the answer that Rashi gives is, if I, or my wife, owns that pie, she has a right to give a slice of pie to anybody that she wants to. Umata patach b'reshit. Why start there? The answer is mishum koach ma'asav higid la'amo. Because he is trying to imprint, God is imprinting into us or relating to us, koach ma'asav, the strength of his deeds, the strength of his actions. In other words, where God stands in all of this now that he created the world. And that is, latet lahem nachalat goyim, to give them an inheritance of the other nations. That quote, latet lahem nachalat goyim, comes from Sefer Tehillim, meaning God created the world, God owns the world, and therefore, she'im yomru umot ha'olam li'Yisrael, if the other nations of the world, whether we're talking about originally or whether we're talking about today, were to come to us and they would say to us, listimatem, you're robbers, you're thieves, you stole our land, we had it first. They're right, they did have it first. Shekivashtem artzot shiva goyim, you went ahead and you captured the lands of the then seven nations. They're right. However, heim omrim lahem, Yisrael can say to them, yeah, that's true, but we have this book called the Torah. And the Torah doesn't begin with the first mitzvah for Bnei Yisrael. It begins with the story of creation. You know why? To tell us, kol ha'aretz al kadosh baruch hu, for us to be able to prove that the entire land belongs to God. God made it. It is God's. To paraphrase from another pasuk in Tehillim, la'ashem ha'aretz umloa, the land and all that fills it belongs to God. Hu v'ra'ah, he created it. Unitanat la'asher yashar be'enav, and then he gave it to whom he chose to give it. And God did choose to give it temporarily, on alone, so to speak, to the Shiva Amim. And then, birtzono nitana lahem, God knew what he was doing. It was according to his will that he gave it to them. Uvirtzono, and then came a point when God changed his mind, and ki'ilu as if it were, of course one could say it's preordained, nitala mehem, he took it from them, unitana lanu, and then he gave it to us. And if anybody here or anywhere were to ask the question, how is that going to prove, for example, to, let's just say, the Muslims, and I'm not talking about radical Muslims, but just your average everyday Muslims like us, like we everyday Jews, and they claim, yeah, but we have the Quran, and it has Akedah Ishmael, which it does, and it has the same stories we do, but just that the lineage goes through Ishmael and not through Yitzchak, and how does this prove anything to them? And the answer is, it doesn't. This Rashi is not about proving to them. It's about proving to us. And I can prove that to you, because earlier on, in the very beginning of this Rashi, the middle of the second line, after Rashi asked the question, why does the Torah start with Bereishit? He answered, Mishum koach ma'asav higid, God is telling the strength of his power, meaning that nature, that the world belongs to him, he's telling it to whom? La'amo, to his nation, to us. It's not that God is telling this message to the world. We need to be able to believe it ourselves before we can try to convince others. So this is to convince ourselves. That's the very first Rashi. Okay. Now getting back to Rosh Chodesh. The very concept of Rosh Chodesh itself. Is it Rosh Chodesh? Absolutely. When the moon appears in a certain way, again, the baby banana. Is it the first of the months? The Torah says it is, but is it? It's not so clear. What do we refer to as Rosh Hashanah? The first of the month of Tishrei. In the Torah, that is called HaChodesh HaShivi'i, the beginning of the seventh month, but we're calling it Rosh Hashanah. And on Rosh Hashanah, we actually recite the words of the famous piyut, the famous piece of our liturgy, V'chol ba'ei olam yavru lefanecha, all creatures of the world pass before God on this particular day, kivakarat, like a shepherd, according to one explanation, like sheep passing before their shepherd to be counted. So an accounting is taken on what we call Rosh Hashanah, on the day the world was created. So then that's the first month. So what's going on here? So there's a famous machloket in the Gemara. And the machloket, the disagreement, can be found in, of all tractates, Masechet Rosh Hashanah. And there we're told as follows. Tanya, we have a braita, which tells us as follows. Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Rabbi Eliezer states, B'tishrei nivra ha'olam. The world was created in the month of Tishrei. Now, without going into details of what it means here by created, as opposed to just conceptualized, and which day, in quotation marks, of creation we're talking about, if we're talking about day one, or if we're talking about day six, on the day that Adam HaRishon, the first man, was created. Cryptically, B'Tishrei Nivra HaOlam. The world was created in Tishrei. B'Tishrei noldu avot. In Tishrei, the forefathers were born. B'Tishrei metu avot. In Tishrei, the forefathers died. B'Pesach nolad Yitzchak. B'Rosh Hashanah nifkada Sarah Rachel v'Chana. Those three women who were barren up until that point were remembered by God, and God acted upon it, upon his memory, his recalling, and therefore, ensured that they would indeed become pregnant after all. B'Rosh Hashanah, on Rosh Hashanah, which is Tishrei, Yatsa Yosef mi Beit HaAsurin, Yosef was freed from jail. And the Torah goes on to, Rabbi Eliezer goes on to tell us that the final one, I'm just skipping one of them, B'Tishrei Atidim Lihigael. Even though we were redeemed in the month of Nisan, in Tishrei, we will achieve our future and final redemption in Tishrei. Okay. That's Rabbi Eliezer. We're not going to go into further details now. Rabbi Yoshua says, B'Nisan Nivra HaOlam. The world was created in Nisan. And B'Nisan Nordu Avot, Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were born in Nisan. B'Nisan Meitu Avot, they died in Nisan. What's really going on here is that both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua agree that the Avot were born in the first month. Only question is, what is the first month? They agree about Pesach. They agree about on Rosh Hashanah that Sarah, Rachel, and Chana were remembered. They agree about Yosef being freed from jail. And they end, though, Rabbi Yoshua ends by saying, B'Nisan Nigalu, we were redeemed in Nisan, and the future ultimate redemption will also be B'Nisan, B'Nisan Atidin Lihigael. So the words HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem accord very nicely with Rabbi Yoshua, who says that the world was created in Nisan. But what about the first opinion in the Baraita that we quoted? Rabbi Eliezer, who says that the world was created in Tishrei. Now that makes sense with the fact that we refer to the day as Rosh Hashanah, and we began our new year of Tavshin Pei Gimel, and actually what the Torah calls HaChodesh HaShviyi, the seventh month, but we view that as the beginning of, that's our new year, that's the Jewish new year. But how in the world could that possibly be? How could Rabbi Eliezer make a statement that seems to contradict the entire Torah? How could the first of Nisan be Rosh Chodashim, the head of all of the months of the year, if the year doesn't begin, according to Rabbi Eliezer, until 6 months later, until Tishrei? So for this, we come to some fascinating comments of the classical Parshanim, of the classical medieval commentators of the Torah, and there are many, many others. I just chose two for you this morning. Let's take a look at the Rashbam, Rashi's grandson, the second line of what I quoted for you. L'chodshei Hashanah, it is the first for the months of the year. And Rashbam tells us as follows. Bechol makom she'omer lachem bechodashim, she'omer lachem bechodashim, whenever the Torah uses the term lachem, I should have bolded that for you, regarding the months, for example, Shemini, Tishi'i, Lachodesh Hazehem, the eighth month, the ninth month, it's referring to from this month, meaning beginning with Nisan. But what about, according to Rabbi Eliezer, I'm paraphrasing now, who says that the world was created in Tishrei and not in Nisan? It means as follows. If you're interested in following along, it's the middle of the second line of the quote from Rashbam. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, for you, and distinctly for you, means as follows. Va'af al pi she'eino rosh chodashim lishar ha'umot. According to Rabbi Eliezer, even though it is not the first of the months for the rest of the world, for humankind and for animal kind, Lachem, yeah. Again, I should have bolded that word, as I did later on in the source sheet. For you, it will be Rosh Chodashim. So we have two different Rashei Chodashim. We have two different first months of the year. The first month for the world's creation. And don't forget that the day that we refer to as Rosh Hashanah, our celebration of Rosh Hashanah, is the new year for all of mankind. At least it's supposed to be. And that's why we view it as what I referred to before of V'chol ba'ei olam ya'arun l'panecha, all creatures of the world pass before God on this day. It is Yom HaDin, the day of judgment, not just a judgment for Am Yisrael, for us. It is a day of judgment for all of human and even animal, whatever that may mean, kind. For everybody, not just for Jews. That's Rosh Hashanah. at least according to Rabbi Yehoshua. However, lachem yihyeh, af al pi she'eino Rosh Chodesh Nisan Aramot, even though Rosh Chodesh Nisan is not Rosh Chodesh for the rest of the nations of the world, lachem yihyeh Rosh Chodeshim, for you, and only exclusively for you, Am Yisrael, Nisan, this month is the first of the months. Why? And then I bolded for you. Mimenu timnu lihiyot lachem zikaron. From that day, you will start counting for you to be a memory. Kivo yitzatem mimitzrayim. Because that is the month in which you left Egypt. That is the month in which you went from being a bunch of individual people, of 600,000 plus men from the ages of 20 to 60, I believe, a total of about 3 million individual people or so, what in Mishnah and Kibbutz would be referred to as a tzibur. A tzibur, it really just means a group of people that are together and not necessarily like-minded. We had a slave mentality. And if you think about it, to have a slave mentality means I need to care about me. And maybe I want to care about you, but I can't because I've got to stay alive myself. So when we refer to Am Yisrael prior to Yetziat Mitzrayim, we're talking about a tzibur, that type of a group. But we weren't a nation. We weren't cohesive. We weren't yet an Eidah. When did we become an Eidah? The word with which I opened the shiur this morning. At the time of Yetziat Mitzrayim, when God not only took us physically out of Egypt, but in addition to that, did his best to try to transform us, and it didn't really work necessarily, that's our fault, not God's, from having a slave mentality to having a group mentality. When did that happen? That happened in Nisan. Uchishenemar ba-Torah, and so when it says in the Torah, uvachodesh hashivi'i, it refers to what we call Rosh Hashanah, or Tishrei, as the seventh month. Liyerach Yetziat Mitzrayim Perusho. It's referring to the month, beginning with the month, counting from the month of the redemption from, or the exodus from Egypt. So Rashbam comes along right away, grounding himself in other sources, in earlier sources, that there are two Rashei Chodashim. There's Rosh Chodesh, or the beginning of the year, Rosh Hashanah, for the world. That's what we call Rosh Hashanah. And then there is Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which is the beginning of our counting, since that was the month of Yetziat Mitzrayim. Sforno, Rabbi Ovadia, from a place called Sforno, goes even further, and he tells us something fascinating. And here I began to bold for you the word lachem. HaChodesh hazeh lachem, it is for you, and that's exactly the point. For you, exclusively, as opposed to the other nations. Mikan ba'elach, from here on in, yihyu hachodashim shelachem. The months will be yours. La'asot bahem kirtzonchem. This is beautiful. To do with them what you wish. Not whatever you feel like doing, but you now have the power to do so. So if you remember meaning Avi Herzog, earlier in the shiur, I mentioned that in order for Rosh Chodesh to be declared, it's not enough for just Beit Din to see, or just by dint of the appearance of the moon, that does not make it Rosh Chodesh. Naturally, it is Rosh Chodesh, but it doesn't have a halachic status of Rosh Chodesh until people come along. Why? Sforno says, because that is a declaration or a manifestation of our realizing that we now have the freedom to make choices, to make any choices. When you're a slave, all of your choices are made by others. When suddenly you're free, hopefully you'll use that freedom in the sense with which God, the sense that God intended, to serve God, then the first thing you are to do is to declare Rosh Chodesh. Aval bimei hashibud, but in the time of enslavement, lo hayu yemechem shalachem. Your days weren't even yours. They weren't your own days. Aval hayu la'avodat achirim uratzonam. The whole function of your lives, the whole purpose of your lives, was to serve and to be enslaved to others according to their will. You had no free choice whatsoever. Now you have free choice. How does God demonstrate to us and ask for us in turn to demonstrate back to him or her, they both begin with a capital H, that we have that free choice? Levichach Rishon Hu, the Pasuk says, this is a quote, Lachem, it is for you, the Chodesh HaShana. Not just for you exclusively, as opposed to other nations, like Rashbam says, but in addition, it is something for you to be able to internalize. It belongs to you, because you now have control over the days and over the calendar. You now have free choice. Kivo hitchil mitziutchem habechirayi. Now, your new existence, or existing on a plane of being able to make your own choices, came into play. It's a beautiful idea. Are there any questions or comments at this particular point? Yes?
Was it not necessary to have the two Adim to declare Rosh Chodesh?
At what point did it become exactly necessary to have the two Adim come and declare Rosh Chodesh? I believe from the very beginning. My understanding, and I could be wrong, is after this first month. In other words, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, God did. But beyond that point, beginning with the very next month.
Though they had the two witnesses the next month. When were the witnesses not necessary for us to be able to say it for Rosh Chodesh? Obviously, today they're not witnesses.
Oh, I see. You're asking the reverse. When did it become unnecessary for us to have two witnesses? The answer is... Say it again?
There's no Sanhedrin.
When there was no Sanhedrin and there was no way to hearing the testimony or acting upon the testimony of the witnesses, right? That's obviously a good point. When by de facto, we simply did not have the functioning body to declare Rosh Chodesh anymore based on the testimony. But in addition to that, by virtue of the fact that we then had a fixed calendar. Once we had a fixed calendar, there was no longer a need, not a printed calendar because there was no printing, but we had a fixed calendar based on calculations. There was no longer a need for Edim to come ahead and testify.
Approximately what year was that?
About 2,000 years ago. I can't give you a closer date than that unless anybody else in the room can. I would have to look, okay? I'm not very good with dates, and I never was good with dates, but that does remind me that because I'm not good with dates, one of my favorite books of any genre of all time, and my wife and I both pride ourselves in having raised children who saw us reading all of the time. So I read serious stuff too. You may be familiar with the humorist, the writer Dave Barry. And he has a history book called, I think it's called Dave Barry Slept Here. But at the outset, he gives his rules for writing the book, his guidelines of his writing style. And one of the things that he mentions at the outset in this introduction, in his set of rules, is that history books, like when you go to school, you know, high school and the like, are primarily just a list of dates. On this date, this happened, and then you forget the dates. Well, I, Avi Herzog, am one of those people, which is why I can't answer the question about what year this took place. And so he therefore says, in this book, everything happened on October 8th, period. So it now becomes very easy to remember the dates. So he'll write something to the effect of, so on that cold Christmas morning, October 8th, so everything happened. So my answer to you is, as of October 8th, okay. Being that the focus now, according to Rashbam, and even more so, and brought more home, more to home by Sephorno, is on the word Lachem, what I would like to do is for us to focus just a little bit more on the word Lachem. And you don't really need me to help you focus on the word Lachem. All we need to do is really open up the Chumash. And so while we're not going, of course, to go through all of this inside, I did present for you here, or printed for you, the entire Shemot Perek Yud Bet, or at least Psukim Aleph through Chavchet Aleph through 28, the entirety of what we read this past Shabbat in the second Sefer Torah of Parashat HaChodesh. Why? Because if you'll take a look, there's a word that I bolded for you over and over and over again. And that word is? The word is Lachem. So take a look at line 2. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, it is for you, as explained beautifully by Sforno and by Rashbam. Rishon Hu Lachem, it is for you. And according to Rashbam, exclusively for you, the first of the months. Take a look at, I believe it's line 5. Now we're already into the main topic, the main theme here of Korban Pesach. Se tamim, the se must be complete, meaning without a blemish. Zachar, male, ben shana, 1 year old, yeh lachem. My point is that word isn't necessary. That pasuk would flow without the word. Se tamim, zachar, ben shana, you can take it from the lambs and you can take it from the goats. It just has to be a baby goat or a baby lamb, a kid. That's all you need to do. And the next pasuk, it will be for you for a safekeeping. or for a keeping, meaning for future generations. Skip now, going through, or we're just passing over, Passover, get it? We're passing over all of the specific details, and then in the new paragraph, and I intentionally am presenting this for you as a new paragraph, you are to take the blood, v'haya hadam lachem la'ot. It is going to be for you for a sign. A few lines down, uvayom, now, the idea of transforming this day or these actions into what we call a yontif, into a yom tov, into a chag. Uvayom harishon mikra kodesh, the first day is going to be yom tov. Similarly, uvayom hashivi'i, and on the seventh day, and I do feel badly for all of those living in the States, because it's not the first day, it's the first and second day, and it's not the seventh day, it's the seventh and the man-made eighth day. And this year they have a three Yom Tov, and we get to say, ha ha, we only have one day Yom Tov, and then we have a break at least for a day. But anyway, yeh lachem, it will be for you. You are not to do any milacha, except for food preparations, yaseh lachem, it can be done for you. Again, that word lachem is completely unnecessary. If you go further, I think it's seven lines from the bottom of the page, if your alignment is the same as mine, I printed out my source sheet at home. Vayikra Moshe l'chozik nei Yisrael. This was not part of the reading of Parashat HaKodesh. This is now the first pasuk afterwards. It immediately follows it. It is, though, the Kriyat HaTorah for the first day of Chag HaPesach. Moshe called to all of Yisrael, and he told them, Mishchu ukechu lachem, literally reach out your hands. Of course, it's only meant figuratively, though. Ukechu lachem tzon, take for you again. Ukechu tzon would have been enough. We don't need the word lachem. And we also don't need the word lachem in the last pasuk I have for you on this particular page. When you come to the land, ki tavo el haaretz, asher yiten Hashem lachem kaasher diber. We don't need that. We know that God is giving us the land. And now we're coming to the last appearance of the word lachem in this entire parashiyah. But before we do, I believe it became clear by now, it becomes clear that the leitmotif of this entire piece isn't Rosh Chodesh, it isn't even the Korban Pesach. It's all about Lachem. A manifestation of Lachem, the first manifestation of Lachem is HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim. The first manifestation for Am Yisrael as a nation, as an Edah, beyond simply the declaration of Rosh Chodesh once a month, is this mitzvah of Korban Pesach. It is our way of expressing to God, and God makes sure to dictate it in such a manner that we get the point that this is going now to be about a lachem. It is going to be about you, you in the plural lachem, not lacha, you as a collective, and it is all about you as a people forming yourselves or transforming yourselves, a transformation into a like-minded people, into a people of lachem. Now let's take a look at the last example I give you, because we find this elsewhere and we're familiar with it. But it's astounding. It's astounding in the difference in what we're familiar with and what the Torah, how the Torah presents it. And the Torah tells us as follows. V'haya, when it happens, the day will come. Ki yomru aleichem b'neichem, when your children will say to you, ma ha'avodah hazot lachem, what is this avodah? It's referring probably to the Korban Pesach, or it is referring to Korban Pesach. In other words, 1 year in the future when you celebrate Korban Pesach and your kids weren't there and they want to know what it's all about and they say to you, Ma ha'avodah hazot lachem, what is their service to you? The answer in the Torah is, V'amartem, you will tell them that our enacting or participating of, partaking of the Korban Pesach is a reenactment of what originally took place. Zevach Pesachu, it is a sacrifice, for lack of a better word, because that's not what the word Korban means. Or Zevach also does not mean that actually, but Pesach, it is a Zevach of Pesach, LaHashem, our way of demonstrating to God, for what? A play on the words, Asher Pasach, he skipped over, there's another explanation for that word as well, he passed over, Abatei B'nei Yisrael B'Mitzrayim, the homes of the Israelites in Egypt, when Binogpo et Mitzrayim, when he struck the Egyptians, referring to Makat Becharot, the plague of the firstborn, ve'et Batenu Hitzil, and he saved our homes and our households, Vayikod Ha'am Vayishtachavu, and then the nation bowed. And then, Vayelechu vayasu b'nei Yisrael kashir tzva Hashem et Moshe v'Aaron kein asu, they indeed fulfilled that very first Korban Pesach. But in, wrapped beautifully inside the details of this Korban Pesach, which b'nei Yisrael were now about to fulfill, is this concept of make sure to educate future generations as to what we're doing and to why we're doing it. It's a good question on the part of the kids that weren't there, and it's a beautiful answer. And yet, we find this question in the Haggadah, one of four of what we refer to as the Arba'a Banim, of the four sons. Of course, it just means four different types of children or adults that exist in the world, may or may not be sitting at your Seder table, and how to address each one. And this pasuk, though, is used as the Sheila, as the question of the Rasha, of the evil, of the wicked son. That's not how it appears in the Chumash at all. Yeah, there are four separate occasions throughout the Chumash in which we are told that when the time comes, or the time will come, that your child will ask you, your children will ask you, and it's worded four different ways, and then with the imagination of the Ba'alei Haggadah, the authors of the Haggadah, they create this notion of four different types of individuals, and there are more, and it's really basically a lesson in Chanoch L'Na'ar Api Darko, or teach every child and adult, every person whom you interact, according to what works for them, according to what they need to hear at the time. Somehow, this wording of Maha Avodah Hazot Lachem, for you, according to the Baal Haggadah, according to the Haggadah's authors, the authorship, is being spoken by the Ben HaRasha. What's that all about? How'd that happen? So I would like to suggest, and this is simply my own idea, so please feel free to take it or leave it, it's in his usage of the word Lachem, just like it's used throughout the entire paragraph. And in a sense then, perhaps what the Baal Haggadah had in mind is that the Ben HaRasha is saying, Ma ha'avodah hazot lachem? What is this lachem business? Why is lachem that important to you? I just want to be able to do what I want to do whenever I want to do it. Yeah, I'll still continue, maybe, to be loyal to Am Yisrael, and I'll continue to be loyal to other causes as well. And I'm going to be a good person and stand up for somebody older when they walk onto the bus. And I'll help somebody cross the street if they need. And I'll give tzedakah, and I'll be a good person. But ma ha'avodah hazot lachem? What is so important, what is so important about lachem? What is wrong with it just being a lecha for you in the singular? And maybe that's why the Haggadah views this person as the Ben HaRasha and included in this lengthy answer is Ilu Hayasham Lohayanigal. It sounds harsh. If that kid were there, he would not have been redeemed. Why? Because I believe that what the Baal Haggadah is perhaps telling us is that such an individual does not understand that God used this opportunity, this transition period from slavery to freedom, is not just a transition to blanket freedom, to do whatever you please, but rather for a transformation of being 600,000 plus 3 million and more than that in all, as I stated before, individuals who didn't even stand a chance of creating a sense of community, to being transformed with Yitziat Mitzrayim into a community, to becoming a community, to becoming an Edah, to becoming a nation which declares Rosh Chodesh Bai using a micro model of two coming together as Edim, as witnesses, the same root as the word Eidah, and that kicks off the year, our year, our year of Lachem. If you can't understand that point, then what was the whole purpose of Yitziat Mitzrayim? That's why God redeemed us from Mitzrayim. It was for us to be able to create this sense of Lachem. And that is, I believe, why the word Lachem, and why I highlighted for you, becomes not just a milah mancha, literally a guiding word, But we see, demonstrated in front of us in the text itself, how it really is the leitmotif of both HaChodesh HaLechem and Korban Pesach, and what it means to be Am Yisrael. And that's why I prepared for you here one small section, which I believe we already touched upon, which I titled, And Speaking of Community. And there I gave for you, I presented for you here, again, the first three psukim, psukim Aleph through Gimel, of Parashat HaChodesh, but I highlighted for you the word Adat. And there's more. But let's take a look at it again. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe ve'el Aharon be'eretz Mitzrayim le'mor. First, HaChodesh Hazeh, as we stressed before, Lachem Rosh Chodashim, Rishon Hu Lachem, for you, the Chodshei Hashana. And there's the word we've been referring to. I never highlighted it for you. I passed over it intentionally before. You, Moshe and Aharon, Dabru, you are to speak to. The Pasuk does not say, speak to El Kol Yisrael, as it often does. It doesn't even say, Daber El Bnei Yisrael, as it often does. But instead, I believe it's intentional. Of course it's intentional. God is telling Moshe and Aharon, his exact words are, El Kol Adat Bnei Yisrael. Speak to the congregation, to the group of like-minded people who are in this together with the same purpose. We are now finally in a place where we have reached our destiny of becoming Adat B'nai Yisrael. And with that, if we realize that we are in Adat, if we've gotten to that point of being Adat, which is just an Adat of in Hebrew grammar, Adat B'nai Yisrael, then indeed we can go ahead and we deserve to be privileged to offer and to partake of the Korban Pesach, which is a demonstration of the idea that we are a like-minded people of Lachem, a like-minded people of not just B'nai Yisrael, but of Adat Yisrael. And then it occurred to me last night, and to give credit where it's due, it's true that this didn't occur to me until last night, but it only occurred to me until last night because when I mentioned to my wife the topic of my shiur and what I'm preparing, it was she that gave me this very idea. So this idea came from her, and that's how it occurred to me. And that is the very opening of Parashat HaChodesh. And what are we told? So beautifully. And I mentioned at the outset that this will come into play at the end of our shiur, and we're coming now full circle. Vayomer Hashem, not El Moshe. Very often in the Torah, we simply find Vayomer Hashem El Moshe Limor. And often enough, we find that Hashem tells Moshe to tell Aharon. When it comes to the 10 plagues, God could have told Moshe and Aharon together. Moshe was the speaker, Aaron was the performer for the first few. At some point, he transitions to Moshe himself. But here, Vayomer Hashem El Moshe V'El Aaron. What a beautiful, beautiful, not just wording of the Pasuk, but a beautiful demonstration of the kickoff, of the starting point of our becoming an Edah. As I said, God did not just speak here to Moshe. He didn't even speak to Moshe to tell Aaron. He spoke to them together, to Moshe and Aharon, as a model, and they were the model of cooperative leadership, with neither one of them letting it get to their head over the other. Yeah, at some point, Aharon eventually does get into trouble for apparently he and Miriam may be lording it over Moshe, if that's what that episode was or was not all about. But at least until that point, there seems to have been no sibling rivalry between them at all. They were a model for leadership. They were a micro model for what it means for us as Am Yisrael to be an Edah. The common denominator, and with this we will close, of Kazeh Re'eh V'Kadesh, look at the moon the way it appears, and then sanctify it, and Edim to come. They are a microcosm of an Edah. Moshe and Aharon serve as our first microcosm of an Edah. And think about it. They are the first twinning position of leadership that we have in the entire Chumash. Up until that point, it's always been individuals. But now it's two. They're coming together as a micro-Eda. That is our responsibility, to come together as much as we can with our differences. But to remember at the end of the day that we are to be a group of like-minded people, not only to make this world a better place, but like-minded in realizing that yes, we indeed are observing our chirut, our freedom this month of Chag HaPesach, But beyond that, it's our freedom to choose, but it's our freedom to make the right choices, the choices that God would want of us to best serve him and to best serve this beautiful world that he gave us. Okay? We will close here for today, and in Yirtzeh Hashem, I will see you all next week.